Name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Perhaps there are some of you who don't believe in the devil. A lot of people don't. I recently was dragged into a conversation by an acquaintance of mine. I say he dragged me into it because it was not a conversation I initiated. No doubt I should have welcomed the opportunity, but I didn't. I already knew his views. I thought the conversation would likely be unhelpful to either of us and probably unpleasant to both. You see, he thinks religious beliefs are just superstition. You probably know people like that. Do you really believe in hell? He asked me. Well, I don't think of hell as a place that looks like the spiral staircase depicted in the drawings in Dante's Inferno, I answered. So you believe in the devil, he said. Sure, but not as a little red guy with horns brandishing a trident. That conversation didn't go anywhere positive. I hope we can do better this morning. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. So begins today's reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Now, to place this in context, remember that right before this, Matthew tells us about the baptism of Jesus by John. And at this baptism, Matthew tells us, the Spirit descended like a dove and alighted on Jesus. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." But now the one who has been proclaimed as the Son, the Beloved, is taken to the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights, and then to be subjected to three strong temptations. I wonder why. Was Jesus being tested like Abraham was tested? God wanted to be sure that Abraham was the right choice to be the father of faith, to be the father of the people of Israel. So God tested Abraham by ordering him to sacrifice his much-beloved son, Isaac. And Abraham trusted God and showed his willingness to follow God's command. So Abraham passed that test. But Jesus was to have a much more difficult destiny than Abraham, and would have to show even more strength and trust in God than Abraham. Did God need to test Jesus to see if he would be able to face this destiny, to see whether he would be willing to march to the cross? I don't think so. Perhaps the purpose of the wilderness period was to strengthen Jesus for what lay ahead for him, not to test Jesus' willingness to fulfill his destiny. At the end of Jesus' 40 days and 40 nights of fasting in the wilderness, an experience that itself was an exercise in spiritual and physical strengthening, the devil placed before Jesus three temptations. It seems to me that in each of these temptations, the devil was probing for an empty space in Jesus that the devil hoped to fill. But each time the devil failed to find an empty space, because that space was already filled by Jesus' trust in God. In the first temptation, the devil recognized that after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, Jesus would be near death from starvation. So Jesus was offered an easy way to address his hunger. Just turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, you can do this. The devil wanted to exploit the hunger for food to force Jesus to usurp God's role rather than to trust in God. And the second temptation the devil placed before Jesus was even more alluring than the first. Just jump from the highest rooftop of the temple, and the angels will catch you. And when the angels catch you, then you'll know you're the Son of God. You'll know that God has passed the test. And I think implicit in this challenge is the idea that everyone else will know who Jesus is as well. You'll be famous, Jesus. But the devil failed again. Jesus didn't have an empty space where God ought to be. He didn't need to prove to Satan or to himself that he was the Son of God. And then came the third temptation, which was the greatest of them all. Matthew tells us that the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me." And Jesus' response, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Satan has offered Jesus power over the whole world. But there was no empty space in Jesus that needed to be filled by the exercise of power. Power, power over things, power over other people. That's hard for most people to resist when it's offered up. For all too many, the lure of power is irresistible, as history has proven time and time again. It is so alluring that we can find an infinite number of justifications for seizing it and using it when it's offered. Institutions as well as individuals hunger for it and grasp it when it seems to be available. We have only to look at the history of the church to see examples of how the church has sought and exercised power under the guise of seeking the kingdom of God when it was really reveling in its own exercise of power. We have only to look at religious leaders past and present, cozying up to powerful people and basking in their glory. What is it that makes the lure of power, great power, or even very small power, so compelling? Why are we so tempted? This morning's reading from the book of Genesis tells the story of how the first humans were tempted. God has told the humans that they may not eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for if they do so, they will die. And the serpent tells them not to trust what God has told them. The serpent says they should eat the forbidden fruit, for then they will become like God, knowing good and evil. They could not resist wanting to become like God, wanting to usurp God's role, God's power. So this temptation is as old as humanity itself. Perhaps there's something in the human condition that makes us seek to fill our empty spaces with things of the world, like money or goods or fame or power. As we enter the Lenten season, our own 40 days and 40 nights, it's good for us to reflect on the empty spaces within ourselves. I know I need to do that. Can we really fill these empty spaces with the things of the world that tempt us? St. Augustine of Hippo was a prolific writer who wrote millions of sentences. But probably the most famous one is found at the very beginning of his Confessions. In that sentence, addressing God, Augustine says, "You stir man to take pleasure in praising you, because you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Jesus resisted Satan's offer of worldly things, because Jesus didn't have a restless, empty spot that needed to be filled. Jesus' heart had come to rest in God. So do I believe in the devil? Yes, but not as a little red man with horns brandishing a trident. The devil, it seems to me, often appears as whatever stands in the way of our realization that the things of the world will never be enough to still the restlessness of our hearts, because that restlessness can be stilled only by bringing our hearts to rest in God. Amen.